Well, hi, everyone. This is Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, and we are going to mock the 2020 NBA draft. And what a year to mock the draft. You can get all of our coverage leading up to draft day at Warriors.com, on SoundCloud, and, of course, Warriors Sound. So this year in the NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors are picking number two. In the lottery, the Minnesota Timberwolves won the lottery, and they're going to select number one. They did it just a few years ago as well. And to help us figure it all out, Alan Horton of the Minnesota Timberwolves, the radio voice of the Timberwolves, joins us right now. And Alan, first of all, hoping you and yours and the good folks around the Timberwolves of Minnesota are doing the best they can during this year of years. How are you coping?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tim. And yeah, everybody's doing as well as they can. You just kind of, you know, I think like everybody, you just kind of battle. You get through every day and you try to make the best of it. And you hope that there are some brighter days to come. But, you know, heading into this winter, it certainly looks like things are going to be rough, and numbers of COVID cases and hospitalizations and deaths are on the rise. So, you know, I just you try to do what you can. You try to stay safe. You try to listen to the scientists and, you know, try to encourage everybody to get through this the best we can. And hopefully we get out of it on the other side.
The two teams, of course, interlocked with a trade. Wiggins coming to the Warriors, and the Warriors sending D'Angelo Russell, whom they had acquired on a sign and trade to start the season. So these two teams are kind of close together. But if you're looking at Minnesota right now going into this draft, going into this, you know, truncated offseason, what are their needs? What are the Timberwolves kind of looking to upgrade and you know, to get better and to get back into the Western Conference mix?
Yeah, with only 19 wins a season ago and having the number one pick for just the second time in franchise history, Karl-Anthony Towns was that other number one pick back in 2015. They're looking to continue to build around Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. Those are their two stalwarts. They've got them under contract. You know, those are big money tier one guys that they feel that not only are those guys very good friends, but the Timberwolves front office feels like that's a good pairing on the floor, and they have a chance to be really dynamic offensively. I think the big questions are going to come at the other end of the floor. I think this team has a chance to be a top 10 offense. The question is, where will the defense be? So you're looking for guys to play around those two. And, you know, with D'Angelo playing the point and Carl playing as you're basically your one big, that kind of eliminates you know, drafting like a LaMelo Ball as a point guard coming out of the, you know, the Australian League, or a James Wiseman. A lot of people are high on him. You know, those probably aren't going to be good fits for the Timberwolves at that number one pick, simply because their path is blocked by D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns.
When you look at the Timberwolves roster, there are a lot of players that are 26 years of age or younger on the roster, and I'm not going to ask you for specifics, but would it be fair to assume that the Wolves wouldn't mind to get maybe a couple of veterans who could maybe help mentor some of these young players?
I think you do. You know, Tim, you and I have been in this league for a long time, and I think some of the best teams, yes, your core guys might be, you know, peak age, and I think that's what they see in D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns. Not only can they play well together, but they're of the same age, and they're starting to hit their stride, and they really hope that they're both on an uptick as far as their career goes. But I always think, you know, you need to balance that out with some guys that have been around, that have some experience, to be the glue guys, to kind of point guys in the right direction, to be that veteran presence in the locker room, on the bench, and out there on the floor as well. Now, they do have a guy in James Johnson who stepped in at the trade deadline from Miami who filled that role. I mean, it was a delight to have someone who had that kind of veteran presence who's been around. I mean, he's bounced around the league a little bit. Now, is he the answer for that veteran-type leadership? You know, we'll have to wait and see. But I think you do want to have a bunch of their key guys the right time trying to peak as far as their career goes. But I do think you need that healthy balance between young players and veterans.
Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell are only 24, but they're veteran players at this point of their NBA careers. Of the young guys, which couple of players do you think will take a step forward for Minnesota this year?
Well, their last two draft picks, I think you have to look at. You know, Jarrett Culver last year out of Texas Tech. And Josh Okogie the year before that, drafted a little bit lower, but still a first-round, mid-first-round pick. You know, both of those guys have shown some signs defensively that they're further along defensively than offensively. Let's put it that way. Both of them shot under 30% last year from three, and with the Timberwolves putting up threes left and right, they need players on the floor who are capable of knocking down those shots. And after the trade deadline, when they kind of remade their roster, they bring in D'Angelo Russell, James Johnson, they bring in Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez. You know, the Wolves shot 38% from beyond the arc after the trade deadline, and that was up from dead last in the NBA at 30% or 32% over those first however many games that was, 45 games of the year, something like that. So they showed some signs, but they've got to get some development out of those two. And I think that, that's something Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball operations, has really stressed, is that a lot of the improvement is going to have to come from within. Yes, they have some opportunities in this draft with the number one pick, the number 17 pick, and the number 33 pick. So that's really almost three first-round picks because you're drafting so high in the second round. But for them to take another step, they're not going to have a ton of room in free agency. Not many teams are. So your development and your improvement has to come from within, and I would look at those two guys as guys capable of making a jump, Culver in his second year and Okogie in his third.
Ryan Saunders came in a very difficult situation, taking over. What do you like with Ryan Saunders as head coach?
Well, it really seems like the coach and the front office are on the same page. They believe in the same type of things. They believe in the same type of system, playing up-tempo, looking for threes, space, pace, all the things that the modern NBA game brings to the table. They're simpatico. So that's crucial, especially when you're not winning as much as you'd like. You've got to have those guys on the same page and developing your culture. And it's interesting, Tim. You saw this, I think, in Brooklyn. You saw it in Philadelphia over the past 5-6 years when those franchises kind of developed the way they wanted to play. It took a year or two. They put in their system, and they took the right kind of shots, but they didn't have the right kind of players to execute the system. And I think you saw that in Minnesota last year. All of a sudden, they're running more. They're trying to get up and force some turnovers and look for threes, but they just didn't have the team that could accomplish that. And so I think overall, you're going to see a team that really remade itself at the trade deadline, not only with D'Angelo Russell coming over, but I mentioned Malik Beasley, he's a restricted free agent. They hope to re-sign him, Juancho as well. I think you're going to see a team that better fits the style of basketball they want to play.
Are the fans, fired up about having that number one pick?
I think Timberwolves fans are who have never moved up in the draft, and there was a lot of debate about whether the Timberwolves actually moved up. They had the third worst record, so I guess technically, but they had the same odds as Golden State and who was the other team? Cleveland. Who finished last, or New York in the East. I can't even remember who it was. But so I don't know if they technically moved up because they had the same odds as the two other teams to have the number one pick. So that was, and then Timberwolves fans saying, of course, this is the year that there's not a true number one pick out there. And so I think this thing could go a lot of different ways, and I think the Wolves are very much open to trading that number one pick as well.
So Adam Silver heads to the podium on November the 18th, and he says with the first pick, the Minnesota Timberwolves select
Anthony Edwards. If the Timberwolves keep the pick, I'm going to say Anthony Edwards, the 6'5" guard wing player out of Georgia, freshman. He's a scorer. He's a shot creator. I think you could pair him with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. I think he fits in there nicely. You're always looking for wing players in this league. Maybe he has a little something to desire on the defensive end, but I think offensively there's a lot of upside there. And I'll throw Anthony Edwards out there as the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, I've read some stuff about his defense, but if you look at him, he's got the body and the quickness to be a defender. You can teach guys how to play defense.
Yeah, and the Wolves held on to David Vanderpool. He was up for a couple of different head coaching jobs. His name has been mentioned in years past. He came over from Portland last year, and he's really the defensive coordinator for the Wolves. And while things didn't go particularly well defensively last year, we had the roster turnover. You had Cat only playing 35 games. He wasn't working with a full complement. I think that is a guy that can motivate and figure out how to defend, because Portland, You know, you think about the Blazers over the years, you don't think about them having great individual defenders, yet they were always a very solid defensive team, especially defending the rim. David Vanderpool was a big part of that. He's the associate head coach here, and he's going to be back this year. So that I think that falls in line with what you're saying.
Alan Horton, always a pleasure, and I appreciate you once again helping out Warriors Radio, and I hopefully get a chance to see you in the upcoming season.
Well, Tim, I was with you in 2015 when I chose Carl Anthony Towns for the Timberwolves. I think that worked out pretty well. I'm hoping my pick here today is equally as good.
It's money. It's money.
Thanks, Tim.
That's Alan Horton, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Timberwolves. Starting off our mock draft 2020, they have taken Anthony Edwards, the swing man from Georgia. Very good athlete, a player that has the chance to have a very long and very productive career in the NBA. And we ask you to continue to listen to our mock draft. Next up on the clock, your Golden State Warriors right here at Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors.